from the University of Minnesota, then he goes on to get his master's at Syracuse University.
Yes.
Becomes assistant football coach at the same time there at Syracuse.
Yes, he did.
Then he's back to University of Minnesota as assistant coach.
Yes, he did that as well. His father always wanted him to go into business with him, with the Wilkinson Finance Company, the mortgage business. And Dad just didn't feel comfortable in a sit-down job. He really loved coaching. So that was a tug of war between him and his father.
Because that business was very lucrative for his father.
Yes, it was.
I mean, they would probably be at least upper middle class or higher, perhaps, as a result of that, offered that kind of style of living.
Yes, I remember well. It was actually a hotel, what we might call condominium today, in which my grandfather and grandmother lived. And it was very, very nice and comfortable. So, yes, they were clearly upper class.
So we have 1943. Mm-hmm. Then he has to give up his athletic work, and he then serves the military.
Well, yes, although there was a transition. He actually joined the Navy in 1942. He was transferred to the Iowa Preflight, Iowa City. And it was there that they trained naval officers in becoming pilots. But they also needed to root out those people that they didn't think had the physical ability to actually fly in combat and to fly in airplanes under heavy stress. It was there that Dad met Don Faureau, the former head football coach at the University of Missouri, who he competed with for many years. But Coach Faureau is generally given credit for introducing the split T offensive formation. Before that, most people ran the single wing, which, as you know, is a different philosophy. Dad, I think most people give credit to having perfected the split T here at the University of Oklahoma. Then, as you said, John, after I think they folded Iowa Preflight up in 1943, and then my dad was deployed to the USS Enterprise aircraft carrier, and he served in combat. He was both at Iwo Jima and at Okinawa. It was quite a very challenging experience for him.
Did he ever talk about some of those stories?
Well, he did. And one particular occasion, he was a hangar officer who was responsible for the aircraft coming up on the flight deck before they actually took off. Of course, the Enterprise was the most decorated aircraft carrier in the entire fleet, the miles that it pursued, but they were constantly being barraged by the kamikaze pilots. And on one occasion, Dad talked about an attack where a plane came down and exploded, and six of the sailors were killed. And had he not been standing behind a steel beam, he would have been killed himself. I've reflected about that many times in my life because he was such an influence to my brother Pat and me, and you replay what would have been like, you know, if he hadn't survived the war. That, I think, was a learning experience for him as well. He was always a realist about life. He'd also lived through the Depression. And he felt that we were here as human beings to be challenged and to try to overcome those challenges, whatever they were. And I think it gave him a very strong conviction about so many of his own values and his philosophy.